What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I am with my co-host, Amy Zander. Hi, Amy.
How you doing, Kevin?
Very good. We are one day away from our moving process, so if I sound a little echoey, it's because there's nothing in my office except me and my desk and my computer. So
nice. You guys did pick a nice wintry wonderland, winter vortex to move in, so that's fun.
And it sounds like you picked a winter vortex to pick up a cold.
I did, yeah.
Oh,
but that's okay. Nice. It's all right.
Yeah.
No, tis the season.
No fun there.
Yeah, it's all right.
Well, we have the last of, I think, what we would call the big four archetypes today. We're talking about the neighbor.
Yeah. And
so it should be a low-key kind of day, laid back. What do you think?
I think so. You know, simple, have a beer, you know, nice chat. You're about to get like all new neighbors with this move that you're having.
Yeah, we're kind of excited. We've met probably half of them already.
Of course you have.
Of course.
Yeah. You and Francie are so social. That makes sense.
it's kind of fun too.
Nice. So, yeah. Good.
Anyway. Yeah. So let's talk about the neighbor. Yeah. Just like your next door neighbor, whether you have a good relationship with it or not, the idea behind having a great neighbor is the same. And, you know, you can go and you can ask for, borrow the lawnmower, a cup of sugar, borrow a couple of eggs, you know, have a beer in the back deck, watch the kids play together. You know, all those visions of how you and a really awesome, great neighbor would be, that's the embodiment of this archetype. So if you want to be super trustworthy with your customers, and you want to be approachable and be seen as super easy to work with, then this archetype might be good for you, right?
Sure. The neighbor is also known as the girl or the guy next door, or the everyday girl or guy, the friend, the average Joe, the buddy, or the sidekick. This is one of the archetypes that Carl Jung described with a specific name. He called it the everyman.
Yeah, and I think it's another one of these archetypes that has a little bit of baggage because he called it the everyman, and Marx and Pearson call it the girl next door, the guy next door. We get this gender thing in here, but there is not an easy way to get around this, so we choose to use the neighbor because it has a little bit more of that laid-back, easygoing feeling to it as well.
Right.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so the sub-archetypes for the neighbor are the neighbor, and that's really a focus on that easygoing, easy to work with, that trustworthiness factor. And then the other flavor of the neighbor archetype is we call it the social networker or the networker. And instead of just being easygoing, yes, it's that, but the social networker also really focuses on building relationships, lots of relationships, quality relationships. They're kind of liked by everyone, but it's the relationships that are the key as opposed to just that laid back unpretentiousness.
Yeah, it's kind of like the person in the neighborhood who's always throwing the neighborhood barbecue or ice cream social or getting everybody together and saying, hey, you know, do you know Bill across the street, or you should really know Nancy? Like every neighborhood has one of those people, and that's what we're talking about here, the social networker.
Right. As opposed to the one-on-one kind of neighbor, right?
Right. You know,
hang out and watch a game with a beer, right?
Right, and you've described the trustworthiness part of the neighbor really well before, and that is the trustworthiness of the neighbor comes from familiarity and knowing each other, and that is a little bit different than the sage or guru trustworthiness, which comes from trustworthiness, knowing that they have the information and the experience in the background, right?
Right, which is a little different than the trustworthiness of the hero of being dependable, right? Or the trustworthiness of the mother of, you know, deep love and, you know, commitment.
Right.
So there's a lot of sources of trustworthiness, and some of these have them and some of them don't. But yeah, definitely the neighbor is ripe with opportunity for trustworthiness. If you have, I'll save that for later because I know we're going to be talking about it.
Okay.
Competition,
sorry.
Right?
Yeah.
Wanted to jump ahead.
Right. Sorry. No problem. So some examples of companies that you would know that are the neighbor archetype would be Folgers Coffee, Charles Schwab. They have the tagline "Talk with Chuck."
Yeah, I love that.
When they changed
that, I thought that was just that's just brilliant, because it's not like they go out of their way to say that they are a neighbor archetype, but pretty clearly they were. The way they were always portraying themselves as easy to work with. And then when they came up with that tagline, like, that's just beautiful.
Right.
Because it just so fits.
Right? Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts is another good one. We use them a lot as an example because they're just very non-pretentious. The kid has a paper hat on and, you know, just kind of your neighborhood donut shop kind of feel.
And they go up against Starbucks as the explorer archetype. And, you know, there's a really great comparison between those two. And, go ahead.
Yeah. Wendy's is the fast food restaurant chain that really stands out as the most neighborly. We have Dave Thomas as the owner, and he named it after his daughter, and he's just a really likable, neighborly guy.
A couple of neighborly notes here. Whenever I talk about Wendy's, I thought, well, you know, if I were to ever want to get a stranger to babysit my kids, you know, even though Dave Thomas isn't with us anymore, I'd hire Dave because, you know, he's just that kind of guy.
Right.
So I use that as an example all the time. And it's true. You know, you really, when you watch those commercials on TV back in the, 80s, it was, he had this very trustworthy kind of feel. Another little thing is in the logo for Wendy's logo, there is a word that is outlined in Wendy's collar. Do you know what it is?
Mom. Yeah.
You know, so it's not to be motherly, but it does have that kind of, you know,
family feel.
Family kind of feel.
Yeah. Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
That's right. What others do we have?
Well, kind of along that same line, we've got like Maytag with the Maytag Man.
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting thing. I don't know if many people saw this. Well, of course, us older people, we remember the Maytag Man from way back, you know, back in the 70s and 80s. And it was always the same dude. It was always the same kind of frumpy, you know, bored kind of guy waiting around for the service call. But in 2005, they changed it. What they wanted to do is make the Maytag Man actually the appliance. So he's, you know, and they made him a little bit more handsome, a little bit stronger, a little more rugged. He's got like kind of a unshaven kind of look. Not quite GQ, but still definitely neighborly, but
right.
quite a little bit of more manliness in the
He got an upgrade.
He got an upgrade.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the U.S. Postal Service, that one is another neighborly one, which makes sense. You know, they're walking through neighborhoods, driving through neighborhoods, delivering your mail.
Yeah, their spokesperson is kind of like the Maytag Man. I don't know if they're using him anymore. I don't think I've seen anything from Postal Service with the, this was a few years ago, they had a very, very ordinary kind of looking average Joe guy as their spokesperson.
Right. So. And then the last example I was going to give, which might not be as obvious as some of the other ones we listed, is IKEA. And I think the biggest reason for this being neighborly is that they are very easy to assemble, easy instructions. The way that they set up their stores is just kind of, you know, you go through the whole thing. You've got to see everything. They don't use a lot of jargon and things like that. So it's just got that real neighborly feel to it.
Got to have my Swedish meatballs.
Right. Oh, yeah. They have the kitchen in there. That's true. Yeah. The chocolate cake. They have those big slices of chocolate cake. Mm. I just like those.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do our usual SWOT analysis. Let me jump in with the pros and cons, or the pros, and then you can let you do the cons.
Sure.
So the pros of the neighbor. Of course, like we've said, neighbors are likable, they're relatable, they're unpretentious, they're super, super easygoing. The neighbor, they're practical, and they make you feel like you belong because that's how you build relationships, right? You got to get close to people, make them feel good. They have a talent for realism. They're usually empathetic. They're good listeners, just like good relationships, right? They make everyone feel comfortable. They are very approachable with this calmness, and that calmness kind of differentiates this archetype from archetypes that are going to be a little bit more hectic and a little bit more chaotic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of companies are drawn to this approach because they come across as being easy to work with. And in business, that sounds like it would be a good thing for everybody, but it's got to really fit within the archetype. But the neighbor is absolutely one of the big four because of this one factor, being seen as easy to work with. Right, so that's definitely a pro. That's definitely a strength.
Makes sense. So let's talk about the cons or the weaknesses. You can go too far with trying to blend in or being like everybody else, or for the sake of appearances or friendliness. So, you know, the one thing that you don't want your brand to be, regardless of what archetype you are, is just like everybody else. And right. So the neighbor could, you know, you just gotta make sure that you don't do that. And also, you don't want to do anything that might damage your trustworthiness, because as we've been talking about, your brand is very much based on that trustworthiness factor. And you can't really get away with too much energy and excitement, because that would come off as off-brand. This is one of the lower key, lower energy archetypes that are out there.
Now, yeah, we're probably going to have an upcoming episode on the actual process of combining archetypes. But let's say someone picks a lower energy archetype like the neighbor, and they decide to combine it with a higher energy archetype like, so let's say, the jester. Yes, you can do that. There is a process. There are things you need to be aware of. But let's say you do that, and in the process of creating a new marketing campaign or writing some copy, you push a little bit too hard on the jester, and it comes up as too energetic or too exciting. That would be off-brand.
Well, now so you're just going to be the crazy neighbor in the neighborhood.
Yeah, well, there's if that's your archetype,
right.
Which could be. It
yes.
could be, yeah. I mean, we all have one of those,
right.
don't we?
Yes. And if you don't, it's probably you.
Look to your left.
Right.
Look to your right.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about opportunities. In the future, if you were to try to figure out where you're going to go with this archetype, one of the things that you need to be concerned about is your competition. Let's say you have someone who's very heroic. They're a hero archetype, but they're coming off as a little egotistical. Or you come across an archetype competitor where they're the ruler and they're coming across as like dominating or, you know, pretentious. Those are really easy to go up against with a neighbor because you can now compare and contrast yourself. I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit. But the opportunity is depending on what your competitor's doing, that's a great opportunity. Oh, another one is if you have competitors who are constantly using industry jargon, you know, like the gurus, the technology type people, they're an easy target for the neighbor, because who likes to use industry jargon? You're always feeling confused and, you know, like you're not up to speed on things. And, you know, people can kind of do that as a leverage of power, of knowledge, but a neighbor would never do that. The neighbor has this opportunity of portraying this image that it's no frills and no bull. There's, you know, it's just, you're a straight shooter. You're easy to predict, right? And you can, of course, like we've always been saying here, you can easily build trust. You can amplify your customer's comfort level, their peace of mind, and all of that is good if you do it strategically, and that's your opportunity.
Right. Yeah. And really focusing on, as you mentioned earlier, that you're part of the group, making everybody feel welcomed and involved and part of something.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the threats or the things that you don't ever want to do when you're a neighbor. So again, talking about that trust factor, you don't want to do anything that would make you seem not trusted or trustworthy for any reason. And you don't want to make people feel left out and not included, which, as you said, like using a lot of jargon, industry speak, talking above people's knowledge level, things like that can really make people feel left out or just confused.
And it's pretty easy to go there.
It is.
We are, as business owners, we are very knowledgeable about our own business. And it's so easy to make the assumption that everybody else has the same knowledge.
Right.
It's just not true. So you never want to make people feel dumb or left out or not comfortable.
Well, yeah, and you don't want to create an atmosphere where people don't want to seem dumb to, like, ask the question. Like, you know, I've been in a meeting before where I've used the term, like, SEO, search engine optimization, and people get this look and they're like, what's SEO? We don't know what that is. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have used that term. You know, and then I explain it, but you don't even want to put people in a position where they have to ask what something means.
Exactly right.
Right, yeah. Because that makes them feel unimportant or like an outcast or stupid. And then the other thing about the neighbor, too, because it's a lower key, even keel archetype, that you just don't want to have any sort of chaos in the mix of what you're doing. Everything's just easy going.
Right.
Easy like Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's right. That is absolutely right.
Yeah.
Okay, so, we're right up to the point where you get to talk to us about some great words.
Yeah, my favorite part.
The word part.
Yeah. So some of the power words that you can use when you're a neighbor are things like authentic, courteous, dependable, fair, friendly, generous, honest, loyal, real, simple, solid, stable, trustworthy, and welcoming. All the things that you would want to be as a neighbor or you would want your neighbor to be to you.
And that's amazing that you read those off in alphabetical order right off the top of your head.
Oh, yeah. It was like they were right in front of me on a screen or something. Yeah, wow.
Imagine that.
It's like we know what we're doing sometimes, Kevin. and this nice little list you provided me. So some of the verbs are to believe, confide, connect, depend, help, please, relax, serve, simplify, smile, trust, understand, and welcome. And when I was reading that list, the one word that really jumped out at me was confide. And I think you could do a lot with that notion or that thought as a neighbor archetype, like confide in us, or we want to confide in you, that whole like we've got something going on that no one else does.
And how many people in your life do you really feel comfortable enough confiding with?
Right.
You know, your doctors, you know, maybe an attorney, right?
Right.
But your best friends, your spouse.
Right.
But that's about it.
Yeah. So I'm working with a client right now that they're a financial advisor company, and they've really embraced this neighbor archetype. And financial advisor companies, things that do with money and things like that, might tend towards the guru or the ruler or, you know, something like that. But they've really, really embraced this, and they don't wear suits. They wear button-up shirts and khakis, and they really have this whole kitchen table approach that they talk about, because – you know, families do most of their dreaming and their planning at the kitchen table. So they meet their clients at a kitchen table and they talk about their money, and they've just really, really embraced this whole neighbor idea. And I believe it's really working well for them, because you do have to confide a lot of information in your financial advisor, and they need to be trustworthy, but also like down to earth, you know, so it's working really well for them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love to hear it.
Yeah.
And as Amy noted, we did pull those words out in advance, and we pulled them off of our word banks. So these handful of words, couple of dozen words we threw out, absolutely have at it, and feel free to sprinkle those liberally through your content, your marketing, your social media, if you are a neighbor archetype. But if you want many, many, many hundreds more ideas and want access to an ongoing changing document, we have our word banks available. Just go to our website, brandarchetypes.com, and we'll get you hooked up. So let's, like we said earlier, Amy, let's compare and contrast the neighbor with some other archetypes.
All right.
So let's see how the neighbor would go up against the ruler. The ruler is all about dominance and power. If you listen to our ruler archetype podcast, you'll understand that it's not about leadership. It's about power.
dominance. And it's really not about relationships. People who are rulers really don't care if you follow them or not. You know, that's your loss. If you don't do it, that's you're the fool.
Right. Kind of like best in class kind of situation. Yeah. Like we know our stuff and you're either with us or we don't care.
Yeah, that's right. It's not about relationships. And there isn't, because of there's this, it's not this relationship approach, there isn't a focus on trustworthiness. In fact, the ruler, I think, would only be second to outlaw in the lack of attention to trustworthiness. It's not to say that they can't be trustworthy. They're just not going to focus on it as part of their brand.
Right.
Yeah. So I would put the outlaw right up there for the same reasons as the ruler, that it's not about relationships and it's not about trustworthiness. Right.
Yep.
Another one would be, let's say, the jester. We mentioned that already. The jester is very wild and energetic and unpredictable, where the neighbor is not. Right.
Yep.
So the jester is not as serious. It's not as comforting. It's not as relationship oriented. Now, the jester's relationships are, you know, they can be super, super fun and super energetic, but it's not this deep, warm and comforting, you know, warm and fuzzy kind of relationship.
It's the party house.
It's the party house. Right? Yeah. So if you have these kinds of competition, archetypes that are being adopted by your competitors, yeah, figure out what the points are where you are really dramatically, truly different from each other and play against them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that leads us to some archetypes that kind of overlap a little bit with the neighbor. And this always happens with any of the archetypes. They have similarities to other ones. And so one of the ones I think might be the closest to the neighbor overlap a little bit, and we've talked about it, is the mother. Just because we have some, you're trying to evoke some of the same feelings of comfortability and trustworthiness and those kinds of things. I would say the neighbor is more like your friend, where the mother is, you know, like your mother. So there's those differences there. The neighbor isn't necessarily going to make you as safe and secure as the mother archetype does. Another one that it could overlap with is the innocent. The innocent also avoids chaos. It's lower energy. Things are more simplified, also doesn't use all the jargon and things like that. So there's a little bit of overlap there. And then there's the sage guru overlap, because the gurus are also super trustworthy. We touched on this already, but their trustworthiness is based on experience and knowledge, where the neighbor is based on familiarity, but it's still all about that trust.
Yeah, those are all great examples. Yeah, so it's, you know, the neighbor is an easy one. It's comfortable. It's predictable. It's an easy archetype to adopt. You just have to be careful in the early stages of picking an archetype. If you feel that you are going to need to have a lot of energy in your marketing, and I've seen people make this mistake before, where they are drawn to the neighbor, they're drawn to the innocent, they're drawn to the mother, these low energy archetypes. And then when they actually try to embrace it and adopt it, they, in hindsight, have this mistaken opinion or view that they should have more energy in their marketing, that's the key to marketing success is energy. And that's not true. The power of these lower energy archetypes is not the energy. It's that low-key familiarity, trustworthiness,
relationship,
love, knowledge, right? It's not about the energy. Yeah. So don't get caught there, but be aware of this energy level issue before you get into it. Right?
Yeah, you know, and as we've been talking about this, I've been trying to think, we've talked before in different episodes about particular industries that are drawn to particular archetypes, but I can't really, maybe you can, Kevin, but I can't really think of any particular archetype that's dominantly drawn to the neighbor. Can you?
No.
It's a popular archetype for sure.
It's super popular.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say a good 20% of all customers over time have picked the
right
archetype.
Right. And what I find too in a lot of my discovery sessions with clients is that the neighbor is always up there in one of the, almost always up there in one of the ones they're considering. Like it's very popular. Yep. They don't always go with it, or they're trying really hard to decide between the neighbor and something else.
Yeah.
So
it becomes, if they pick another archetype, it becomes an undertone,
right,
of a sub-archetype.
And yeah. I think it's because, you know, one of the things is because relationships are important, and that trustworthiness factor in companies is just so important.
Yeah, and it's also fun when you are in working with a company in an industry that is very heavily oriented towards another archetype,
right.
And then they pick the neighbor. You know, for example, I had a law firm in New Hampshire that picked the neighbor archetype, which just I just fell in love with them after that because they didn't go with the sage guru,
right.
Like every other law firm on the planet,
right? Yep, and that's so how I feel about my financial advisor client. They're so much fun.
Yeah. Right. Okay, well, that wraps it up. And if you have any questions, of course, you can go to brandarchetypes.com. You can connect with us there, connect with us on all of our social media platforms. And what do we got left for upcoming podcasts, Amy? I mean, what would you like to attack next? Well, we have the guru, the artist or creator, the innocent, the magician, and the ruler are the last five.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the guru. That
sure.
Seems like it's a pretty high-end one. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that one next.
Okay. We will talk to you next week on that point from very snowy Ludington and in my new office. And look forward to it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Good luck with your move.
Thanks much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.